So I was just talking with James Wallace, and now I've got another participant of that recent show.
Oh, yes.
Federica, how are you?
Good, good, good.
Here today, you are not here to play Baron of Munchausen. What are you here for?
Well, I'm here with the Roleplay Heaven stand. We are promoting our three clubs now because from January, the Archway North London branch is going to open.
New branch. Woo!
Yay! Finally, we are growing every time.
Someone asked me a funny question this week. I was posting on Facebook and that person asked me, oh, yeah, when is the Lewisham branch opening?
I think it's 6 years running now. So, yeah, it's our firstborn, and Stratford is almost 3 years old. And now, from the 9th of January at the Hideaway Bar in Archway, we'll have the third branch.
So, Monday is Lewisham, Tuesday Stratford?
Tuesday is Stratford and Archway, and Lewisham is Wednesday.
Okay, cool.
We were aiming at a Thursday night as well, but North London is so busy and so full of gamers that we could only arrange it on a Tuesday.
That's great, because it's been I think we've been talking about that for 3 years.
Yeah. It's been a long work in progress, but we're finally there.
3 years ago, so I interviewed you at Dragon. It wasn't in the Novotel, it was another place. But I had a question for you, and I wonder if now you have an answer.
I might.
Okay. Do you have any Italian role-playing games to recommend?
Haha, I still don't have the answer, because in the past 3 years I've been concentrated on whatever is popular around in London. So I'm afraid the answer is still a no. I'll have to do my studies.
Yeah, I need you need to check L'Ingranaggio.
I will.
It's a steampunk thing from an Italian author.
Ah, nice. Yeah, I'll definitely have to have a look at that.
And look at that. I can see from here the Cubicle 7 stand. And One Ring is an Italian game. Did you know that?
I didn't. My bad. My absolute bad.
You need to prepare for next year.
It's not run at the RP Haven, so I'm not aware of it. So.
And whose fault is that? RP Haven's got Italian members and they're not running
Italian
games.
I'm not running an Italian game, I know.
You're just digging a hole deeper and deeper
until I disappear.
So do you have any plans of mastering something at RP Haven at some point?
I haven't yet, so I'm kind of thinking it might take me a few years as the Archway branch did, but I will eventually get there and start running a game.
One final word for people at Dragon Meet or not lucky to be with us today?
Great event as usual. Lots of people, lots of stands. RP Haven, the most important one for me, of course. We have three new flashy banners, so you can't really miss us. We are near the bar and near the toilets. You will have to walk front of us at some point.
It's perfect, because at the podcast zone, people keep asking us where the toilets are, like we don't know anything. No, I can tell them, go ask to RP Evan over there.
Definitely.
Perfect. Thanks, Federica.
Thanks to you. So let me be your safe haven when this world is mistaken. So let me be your safe haven when this world is mistaken. They don't get you known, they won't want you to grow, but you won't need no one else. Maybe you can tell. See, I'm better than I've ever been. Now I found a heroine, and no, I ain't talking a drug. In the clouds, so many air miles I'm clocking up. She keeps it 100, so me topping up. And you just can't compare it. The wrong person calls out, hear it. I'm gonna bear my soul. Can you bear it? See, I appreciate that you came to see me. They don't like it when I make you my DB. They wanna copy me and everything like a CC. I'll find it harder to reach me. I swear, yeah. Oh, safe haven.
So I'm now with
Robin D. Laws. How are you doing?
Pleased to meet you. I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm very good, thanks. Happy to be in London again and at Dragon Meet again. The little show is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and that's exciting to see.
You are, and this year you are honorary, let's call that an honorary member of the Podcast Zone, so a little collection of podcasts.
Yes, well, that's the most important official responsibilities I seek are purely honorary ones that require no labor on my part, so...
But you did do a seminar today about podcasting.
Well, it was a live edition of our podcast, Ken and Robin Talk About Stuff.
Oh, I see.
So we were demonstrating, I guess by example, how to have an awesome podcast, which is have Ken and Robin talk for an hour, basically.
Congratulations. How many Emmy awards did you get now with that show?
We have four gold Emmys.
Four of them?
Yes.
I'm part of a network called the RPG Academy.
Yes.
And the eponymous show of that network's got nominated two times, but never managed to get to gold. Would you have any advice for Michael?
Now, this is Ken's theory of the Ennies,
uh-huh.
And it's an important one in the podcast category, which is that the silver Ennie is the real Ennie, unless you get gold, in which case gold is the real Ennie. So if you win the silver Ennie, it is the Cognoscenti's award, the really cool award for those who are truly in the know.
It's so, the up-and-coming shows that people
yes,
should
exactly.
check out.
So, you know, take heart. The Silver Ennie, you know, four different people won Silver Ennies when we were, you know, protecting people from the comparatively lackluster gold Ennie. But think of it that way.
Do you're here in London. I see you every year. You're really a regular of Dragon Media, even when it was somewhat smaller. Why is that so?
For years now, Pelgrane Press has flown Ken and I out each December to come to Dragon Meet, and that gives us an opportunity also to plan half a year of Pelgrane activities with Simon and Kat and Gareth Ryder Hanrahan and the rest of the gang. So it gives us a great opportunity to hang out, spend some time together, do a show. And things have gotten increasingly businesslike over the years, so we actually have like a meeting with minutes and everything where we plan out where we're going and what we're doing. And it's been a big help because Pelgrane on one level is two people, it's Simon and Kat, but there's a bunch of, and I guess Gar as well as a writer, and now it's growing a bit, but there are people like me and just like Ken and I are honorary podcasters, we're honorary Pelgranistas as people who do a lot of writing for them. And then, so it's a great opportunity for us to have input and know what's going on for the whole company. And it's what allows Pelgrane to sort of punch above its weight and produce stuff that you would expect from a company with a bigger staff.
Was Pelgrane based in London at some point?
It still is.
Because
it's in Clapham.
Because I recently interviewed James Wallis, and he was telling me that at some point, well, the very early days of Dragon Meet, but even at that time, Pelgrane and Ogzed and several tabletop RPG publishers were actually based together in the same building. Were you part of that at that time already?
Well, I wasn't, but James and Simon now still share office space, and it's a small community of people. And Pelgrane is a big part of what's a really burgeoning scene. Originally, you know, even back when I first started coming to Dragon Meet, there would be a panel about the state of the British games industry. And for a long time, that panel was always sad about remember the good old days when the Games Workshop stores were, you know, they sold role-playing games before they got into those stupid miniatures. And, you know, people would lament, you know, oh, we're all getting older and the hobby isn't growing and we're not seeing any young people. And now the British gaming scene is incredibly, you know, there's like, you know, four or five companies that are all big, important companies, not just here, but in the role-playing scene in general. And it speaks not just to the revitalization of British gaming that Dragon Meet had a big part in sort of sparking, but also just the growth of the hobby overall.
Do you have any projects you are especially promoting here today?
Well, my most recent big project here at the show is Cthulhu Confidential. That's the flagship game for the new Gumshoe 1-to-1 rules. Those are set up for one GM and one player. And it turns out that designing for that format is designing for a very different set of circumstances.
Uh-huh,
so the rules are very specific to that experience, to the point where even like the gumshoe version of hit points is no longer part of that version of the game, and I had to come up with a whole other design solution for that. Because, of course, if there's only one character, they can't die in the middle of a mystery, because otherwise it would be like, you know, you're reading a Raymond Chandler novel where Marlowe dies in the middle, and everybody laments that, oh, well, they could have solved the mystery if only he'd lived. Can't have that. So you can't die in the middle of a mystery, but you can get a card that says you've been shot. And it tells you, if you don't do something about this card, by the end of the scenario, you solve the mystery, and then you die of your wound.
Okay, so it's kind of, I don't know, maybe it's not in The Big Sleep, but kind of Humphrey Bogart being shot at the middle of the movie, and he's dragging himself to someone to be...
Yes, and what's really going to happen is you're not... Unless there's some really terrible set of circumstances, you're going to take the time to go to the hospital. And so you make it make sense that you recover from your gunshot wound. And so it still feels a sense of, you know, suspense and peril, but it's not the same as in a multiplayer game. And one of the things about the experience is that it is very intense to play as the only player. You feel very alone. You're on the spotlight all the time. You feel you're really on the hot seat. And so... for example, in the Dex Raymond adventure, my sample adventure of the three in the book, at the end of it, something happens that is very terrifying that would never happen in multiplayer. And even if it did, it wouldn't be that scary. But when you're just the only one in that situation, it's super scary and super different and feels more like you've played through a mystery novel or a mystery movie like The Big Sleep.
Yeah, that's the thing. Because I was actually having this conversation without knowing your game this week with someone discussing Call of Cthulhu and saying, oh, some of my experience were not as good as others, and it felt a bit like force that the group was sticking together. And when we were thinking about it, a Lovecraft type of story was most of the time about a single person doing something.
The big team-up of the Call of Cthulhu player characters is Dunwich Horror, but other than that, it's usually, you know, solitary guys who go down and meet a ghoul and faint, right?
And that's it. I heard also recently James Wallace told me about, I think it's a Polish game called De Profundis,
like an epistolary thing where you're writing letters back and forth.
Did you knew about this game, and did you draw some kind of inspiration?
I knew of it, but I didn't draw anything directly from it.
I believe you also contributed to A Las Vegas, which just came out.
Yes, it's finally out in physical form, and my little contribution to it is... just an article about using the tarot deck as an idea generator, either for A Las Vegas or actually any tabletop role-playing game.
Oh, interesting, though. Yeah, we did something like that at the RPG Academy. It's called Synergy. We take cards from Magic and we come up with potential adventures for Dungeons & Dragons.
Right.
I brought something today. Do you recognize this one?
That is the French version of the Over the Edge.
Yes, it is indeed.
Jonathan Tweet's super influential early game of modern weirdness, to which I contributed some additional material.
So did you contribute it to the first edition also?
To the first edition, yeah.
It's a big classic of me of presenting you with games which you actually didn't... be the
author. No, but there's material of mine in there.
Do you remember when it was translated? Did you hear about the French, their reaction to that game at the time?
What was the French reaction?
I don't know.
I think people liked it. They thought it was cool. I think it... and definitely there's a... What I especially like about that edition is that it executes Jonathan's idea for the cover much more dramatically than the actual original version cover does. And it's the same situation, but they've just chosen a different angle on it that really...
You really have the over-the-edge idea. Yeah. Although the game is not called... The title in French is a bit confusing because it's called Conspiration.
Right.
So...
And the other thing about this edition is that it's set... The original version is set in Alamarha, a mysterious island in the distant Mediterranean. For Americans, that seems exotic. And so for the French version, they had to move Alamarha to the Caribbean... So it would seem exotic to French readers, because the idea of like, oh, there's an island that I can fly to in a half-hour commuter flight, that's, scary, that's exotic.
But it's funny, because I bought this game in part because of the cover at the time, and it was a long time ago, it's maybe 15 years. And the funny thing about it, 15 years ago I was not so versed in different role-playing games. I was playing stuff which were crunchier. And now with you know, hindsight, I find the system extremely forward thinking. But I remember at the time I was kind of almost shocked by it, by its simplicity.
Yeah, this is really the first sort of narrative-driven game that has the principle that every ability is mechanically similar to every other ability, which is something that I elaborated further in the HeroQuest rule set. And this is really the first rules-light system. And that, you know, this came out in the age when the sort of dominant ideas in design were the build systems of champions and GURPS. And this is like such a completely different direction that Jonathan sort of began to spin things in.
Yeah, what I was used to at the time was White Wolf, so it was loads of skills, right. Loads of dice. And this one, it's, okay, your main skill is bodyguard, and you can drive, shoot, and run, and with all of that. Do you remember the stories you wrote for Over the Edge?
Yeah, there were quite a few adventures. There's a book called The Weather the Cuckoo Likes, which is about the surrealist cut-up conspiracy. There is a book I helped work on called Wildest Dreams, which is about the Tulpas and then the Sandmen, who are the drug dealers who have this horrible drug made from the excrement of thought form beings who don't want to acknowledge that they're not biological. And there are other things as well. But yeah, I wound up doing a lot of Over the Edge things early on.
Any games recently you heard of and you thought was interesting?
There's so much going on that I feel it's like I can't even really keep track of it. But it's just so exciting to be working at a time when there's no one direction that design is going in, but rather that, you know, everybody's off doing, you know, incredible things, and a game can come out of nowhere to win a bunch of Ennies. And so it's a really exciting time where both the old favorites are coming back and then, you know, the new favorites are bubbling up from everywhere.
And if last thing to add to the listeners of the show?
Just keep enjoying games, keep stimulating your imagination, and keep finding new gamers and telling them about role-playing games.
Thank you very much.
You're most welcome.
Thanks.
Hey, 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 don't you tell me how to live my life, when everything is not gonna be fine. Rock by! Your advice means absolutely stick to me. Stick to me! If the limit is fine, you're just too fine to let me see. Yeah, yeah, yeah! One foot over the edge. Every day's a new day. Every day just the same. Of 1 foot over the edge. Don't you tell me how to live my life. My life. When you always failed one too many times.
One too many times.
Life means absolutely spit to me.
Spit to me.
It's my freaking life. That means I know I'm free.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
1 foot. 1 foot. Over the edge. Drown my soul, drink my dreams. Let it come away from me. I'm 1 foot over the edge. If you don't like it, let's just drink a bit. Don't fuck, baby, before I get all opinion. And 1 foot. 1 foot over the edge. Every day's a new day. Every day just the same. I'm 1 foot over the edge. Over the edge.
For you, Eddie.
I'm now joined by Dan, the RPG coordinator of Phoenix Games Club. That's a very fancy title.
Thank you, Jeremy.
So, how was your day, Dan?
My day's been good. I was running Leagues of Gothic Horror this morning, a Victorian Age Gothic horror game, so, because surprisingly enough, set... how best to describe this? The Leagues of Gothic Horror is published by AAA Games. It is powered by the Ubiquity Dice Engine. It's a system that minimizes dice rolling and keeps the story to the fore and allows the players to manipulate fate using style chips, as well as have zany, pulpy, steampunk adventures.
And it's sort of a League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yes,
setup.
Yeah. The Leagues of Gothic Horror book adds to the Leagues of Adventure system that was published a few years back. I know Leagues of Cthulhu is coming out early next year. It's at the printers apparently now-ish. So that will be interesting. That will bring all the Cthulhu mythos stuff into the Ubiquity world as well.
Not only yourself, but a lot of people from Phoenix Games Club were game mastering. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, we had two other games running this morning. Kieran, one of our new members, he was running some D&D 5. Sounds like his table had a really good time. I'm not sure of the exact details of the adventure he ran. Also, our chairman, Ivan, he ran, I think, Burning Wheel, but he may have been running something else. But I think it was Burning Wheel, which is a very, very strange system, but a lot of fun. Rules light, but the adventures that you can run using it and how people can contribute to each other's dice pools and stuff and help people out. It's a fun system. Character gens are a bit clunky when you first come to the system, but if you've got someone sort of walking you through it, it is a fun system to play. It's very interesting. Then this afternoon we've got John running another D&D 5e game, and my friend Andy, who's running a game called Through the Breach, which is set in the... what universe? Malifaux universe. And it's kind of magitech, steampunk, set in that Malifaux... are you familiar with Malifaux?
Not at all.
Okay, Malifaux is a mini battle skirmish war game, and Through the Breach is the role-playing side of that. It's on my list to play. It's something, the game that looks really nice. It looks very steampunk aesthetic.
But my question was a bit, what is Phoenix Games Club?
Okay, Phoenix Games Club. We are formally evolved from the Guild of Melee and Magic when that existed. We are based in Plaistow in East London. We meet every Thursday in the Black Lion Pub, which is about 5 minutes walk from Plaistow Tube Station. We run a 50-week calendar year. And we run 5 blocks of 10 weeks, which we then subdivide into 6 weeks, which we use for longer campaign games. 1-weekers, which we use for AGMs, geeky quizzes, playtesting random one-shot con scenarios. And then 3 weeks we use for running shorter games. I usually use them for playtesting games. I'm running at conventions quite often. So some of my All for One games have been playtested in 3-week scenarios. The first block of next year, we have Chronicles of Darkness Werewolf being run by Ivan and myself running, again, Leagues of Gothic Horror. No, it's not Gothic Horror. I'm running Gothic Horror in 1-3, and I'm running a game called Third Class Coffin. The game in 1-6, I'm running All for One. So Musketeers meets Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Ooh, nice, nice.
So that's set around 1636. It's set in France and Paris and around. It's the climax of a campaign that's been running over probably 2 or 3 years on and off, because we don't allow campaigns to run concurrently. So campaigns have to wait a whole 10-week block before they can run again.
So does that work if someone wants to join the...
If someone wants to rock up, usually we have spaces. We have a website. You can sign up on the website or just message me via Facebook or the club via Facebook and someone will get back to you. We also have an email contact. Yeah, you can just literally rock up at the pub and say, I mean, the bar staff will direct you towards myself or one of the other committee members, whoever's around, and we'll try and get people in a game. I mean, the way the system works, we get through a lot of games in a year because you have 6 weeks of one game, a gap, 3 weeks of a game. Looking at next year alone, we've got D&D 5th being run, myself running 13th Age, Leagues of a Gothic Horror... All for One, Regime Diabolique is being run. There's a tent. Vampire the Masquerade is being run. Victoriana might also get run. I'm still not certain on that. That's far later in the year. I haven't got there yet. I've got things between now and then.
What did you think of this year's Dragon League?
It's been good. It's nicely organised. Muster was slick and efficient. I got players, even though I only had 2 sign-ups. I found 3 in the crowd and just... Whoop. Yeah, it's definitely a slicker... compared to the chaos of last year.
Was it chaotic last year?
It was a little bit chaotic last year. Muster was a little bit weirdy wonderful. But no, this year it's definitely been a slicker operation. It feels more relaxed. I think, yeah, I look forward to more years at this venue. And yeah, if this continues, Dragon Meat's going to go from strength to strength.
What are you up to now?
Now I'm just wandering around. I've made a few purchases, chatting to people, catching up with people I know from last year, trying to find other people I know that are here that I haven't seen since at least last year.
There's so many people.
yeah, it's hard, it's hard.
It's nice when you come back over years because you recognise each other.
Yeah, well, I randomly just bumped into a guy I met at a board game event at Drafts earlier in the year, and he's launching a social network app, and apparently that's just gone live today.
Okay.
I don't know many of the details. They're somewhere over in the open play kind of, but yeah, really tall guy with like tight curly hair.
Okay. Anything to add for the listeners?
I'm not one to think of. I mean, I've been enjoying socializing with you guys at Drinks and Dice.
Oh, the Drinks and Dice, we forgot to mention
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's been a good thing. We've definitely got a good thing. Hopefully that will continue to expand in the new year.
Yeah, it still needs to be consolidated a bit, but every last Monday of the month.
I'm sure we'll get between you and me.
Because that's the thing, you were saying there's some people here, you only see them once per year. Of course, it might be because they are not based in London.
But yeah, that's usually the case.
There's still a lot of people around here.
Yeah, definitely.
From other clubs, play other games, or they just play at home.
That's why there was a point where I'd come to Dragon Meet, I'd play a game, I'd run a game. Or I'd run a game and play a game. But now Dragon Meat's become sort of a social, more socially networked, run around, talk to people, play some fun demos. I've just played a simple board game called Thieves, where you're trying to your two competing teams trying to get score the treasure into your home zone. So it's kind of imagine sort of a mashup between backgammon, chess,
and capture the flag.
It's very capture the flag. It's quick. So you just roll the dice, and the dice are different colours on each face, and you can move through certain doors. But you have to move, you know, two pieces. It's somewhere over in the board game zone. But it is fun. It is simple, and it pushes my aesthetics for what I look for in a board game. Something that's easy to pick up, takes a bit of time to master, but plays quickly and easily and simply, and is very easy to explain.
I'm frustrated. I need to go out and try those games.
Yeah, of course you do.
Okay, thank you very much.
No problem.
And see you soon.
See you soon, mate. All right.
There you go. Keep it close. Is it recording? It is recording. Back in the podcast zone. I'm here now with...
with Camille from Demepia.
Nice. And you are?
Just Lauren is...
passerby.
Lauren is my plus one.
Hello. Libby from Demepia.
Also from Demepia.
So what is Demepia about?
Demepia is a 5th edition D&D podcast in a homebrew setting of Demepia.
Oh, there's not many of those online.
No, not at all, not at all. But the thing that sets us apart quite nicely is that we're a horror fantasy podcast.
Oh, okay.
Of which there's not as many. Oh, Libby's being attacked by a dragon hand puppet right now. yeah, it's quite spooky.
I just got attacked by a dragon. It, It was a very cute dragon, though.
Well, you should be used to that by now.
Yeah, although we haven't actually encountered any dragons yet, but we have encountered creepy ghost children, suspicious taxidermied babies, whatever lives in the sludge in the second season. We're going to probably encounter that soon, which won't be fun. So, yeah, we've got some interesting creepy enemies going on in our show.
I don't remember those in the monster manual.
No, they're all creations of Max, our DM, Max Chambers, and his warped mind.
Does he make it available online if someone wants to play that?
Yes, it is. You can play Demipia on iTunes. We're also on Podbean, but I'm sure you can find us on a lot of different podcast apps of your choice.
No, I meant his creatures. Are there stat blocks and descriptions available if a game master wants to use them?
I think that's something that would be cool to work on in the future. I think at the moment, all the Demipia stuff's kind of only being explored through the podcast at the moment, but I think Max is definitely looking to expand and sort of offer content and write things up in a more sort of solid way. He's got some good plans.
So what do you think of Dragon Meat?
It is pretty cool. I'm having a good time. This is actually my first convention, which is weird because I'm a massive nerd and I don't know how I've not been to one before. But first con, it's been pretty fun. I've been hanging out at the podcast zone, meeting loads of people that we've been talking to on Twitter for a while, so that's been really nice. We demoed a game earlier that was cool. Been to the trade tables. I bought two different games. I bought the Jane Austen card game, because why not? I'm very excited about that.
I mean, it's Jane Austen and a card game.
Yeah, and I also got a game called Heat, which is like a heist card game, so that sounds quite fun, because I've been looking to expand my game collection, so this is pretty much the good place to come for that, isn't it?
It's the best place, yeah.
Yeah. I also appeared in one of the Formal Gamer mini episodes, and that was a lot of fun, a lot of seagulls, which is a bit confusing, but
yeah,
that was good.
Yeah, pelicans and stuff.
Yeah, all the birds. Apparently they did a lot of bird research for the show, so that's good.
It didn't feel so accurate, though.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they could talk, which is maybe not completely accurate, but we did have interesting discussions about seagull anatomy, which I'm not really sure why we got onto, but...
What was your equipment?
Oh, I went for... I was a gnome magic user called Hubert, and my items were, if I remember correctly, a bottle of cider, which is probably why I can't remember, because Hubert was very drunk all night. A lute, which I actually used to re-navigate like a minecart by smashing it into the... So that's probably not around anymore. And I also had 50 foot of rope, which two other people also had. So we had a lot of rope.
Wait, it's funny we were missing rope. None of us picked
rope. None of you had rope. We had so much rope. We had more rope than we knew what to do with.
I think we should have been better with shuffling the players.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, there were two gnome magic users. So, yeah. But we bonded. We bonded. Oh, no, I had rope and he didn't have rope. So we kind of diversified a bit there. But, you know.
Okay. Any final words to the listeners of the Rollist podcast?
Just, yeah, come down to Dragon Meat next year if you're not here already, because it's a lot of fun. And listen to Rollists and listen to Demipia.
Yeah, Dragon Meat's been great. And listen to all of the podcasts that have been at the podcast zone.
That's a lot.
This episode included Safe Haven by Paris Solemn, Over the Edge by Reason Enough, Hounds of Dracula by Watlon Taunton and the Heavy Hands, and of course Sota of Rango, or theme song by Bandido Roll. The Rollist Podcast is a proud member of the RPG Academy Network, which is the home of many other excellent shows, including Shadow of the Cabal, which recently released a very good finale to that 60 episode or so long campaign of Legends of the Five Rings. I really recommend any fan of Legends of the Five Rings, tabletop RPG, actual play, or just good stories to check Shadow of the Cabal. And a big congratulations to Tanner, Dakota, Ryan, and Justin for this very big achievement. Coming back to the Rollist podcast, we have a new means for you listeners, maybe to show your support, in addition to the usual reviews and ratings on iTunes and Podchaser, which are really, really important and helping the show to get noticed by new listeners. So please go to iTunes or Podchaser and rate and review the show. you know about it, there's the Patreon. I recently invested in more recording equipment, which I hope will help me to record even better actual play episodes and make it easier for me. So yeah, every penny you consider this show worthy of goes to the production of more content for you people. Content like the bonus show Café Rolliste, if you want to check out this little now and then lunchtime short recording with me and Akadosh where we discuss ongoing campaigns and what we read in the news about tabletop RPG. So I think it's quite nice. So Café Rolliste is one of the bonus you will get access to if you support us through Patreon. If Patreon might be too much of a commitment to have those monthly payments, an alternative is now PayPal. I created a PayPal Me page for the Rolliste podcast, so you can make a one-off little support money transfer to the Rolliste podcast or to buy me a coffee or something. And again, I will use that to finance more content for the show. And finally, another new way to support the show, and this without costing you anything, it's now we are now affiliated to DriveThruRPG. So if you go into the description of this episode or onto the main page of the Rolliste podcast on rolliste.com, you will find a link to DriveThruRPG. And any purchase you make on DriveThruRPG for your favorite RPG content of any kind there, well, the Rolliste podcast will have a small, what do you call that, proportion from what you spent on DriveThruRPG. So if you have anything in mind, any supplement you are considering buying on DriveThru, please consider doing so. Maybe some Modifius stuff like Star Trek Adventures, or I don't know, there's a lot of stuff. And actually, the list of games which were mentioned in this episode, included in the description of this episode, if you click on them, most of them link directly to DriveThru with my affiliation number already mentioned. So if you click on one of those links to check the games from Robin Dillo or stuff like the League of Gothic Horror, you can check them out on DriveThru. And if are you interested by them and you purchase them, this will make a little thing for me. We still have a final part of our Dragon Meat episode to be released next month. Also good news, I just got confirmation that I will be going to the UK Games Expo. So I really look forward to doing that again and hope to meet many of you there. So feel free to send me a tweet, an email, anything if you would like to hang out there. And I will be. We can have a few words, we can play a game together, or I can interview you. I would love to do that. But you don't have to wait either till June to meet me, because this month, like any month, on the last Monday, we will have here in London our monthly Lundrings and Dice. It will be on Monday, February 26th. And again, it will be at the Tank and Paddle, right in the heart of the city, in Minster Court. Oh yeah, one final thing. Also, I just listened this week to the Pocket Mimic episode by Kat of Nelian from Shadows of Esteran. So if you miss Nelian in my own episode of the Rolliste podcast at Dragon Meat this year, well, at least you can listen to him and hear him talking about Shadows of Esteran, but also their OGL Dragon, which there are no plans for an English version yet, but it's a very interesting project with the own take of Agatha Edition of Dungeons & Dragons and beautiful visuals. See you in a couple of weeks for part 3 of our Dragon Meat episode, and in the meantime, have good games! Holy! 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 Solta o frango e vem com a gente! Holy! 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 Solta o frango e vem com a gente! Nós é tipo bem Jesus, todo mundo a gente ama. Ainda mais se for gatinha, rola até levar pra cama. A gente topa tudo, sapatão e bigodudo na hora do piriri. Cai em mim outra vez, ti.
Vai, Batuque!
Holy! 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 Solta o frango e vem com a gente! Holy! 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 Solta o frango e vem com a gente!
Right.
One for upstairs.
Peter Griffiths.
Yep.
Dungeons and Dragons. Sydney Shaw. Joseph Goss. Charlie Fidget. David Kirkham. David Kirkham's there. Right, could you do me a favour?
Yeah.